MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
It's sundown. The day has just begun. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Yes. This is MDN Shows Running with the Times, only on MDN TV, the podcast. And I am Major Daughter. Welcome, welcome to all our listeners and viewers around the world. Meet us in the comments. We are live there. Engage, ask questions, share this podcast, tell your friends to tell their friends. It's happening right now. And we want to say thanks, thanks, thanks a gazillion times to you for coming back again and again and again. And it doesn't really matter whether you spend 10 minutes with us or 15 minutes with us or 5 minutes. All that time is highly appreciated. And if you have not subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? Because this is the hottest show on the planet. And we bring you one of the hottest guests on the planet. And today, tell you what, we are looking at a journey of a hero. My guest moved from the depths of despair to the heights of bliss. And he will tell us about his journey of healing and personal growth and how everything changed just like that. And if you know anyone, if you know anyone who could receive from what is going to be shared here today, tell them to jump in right after this.
MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
Well, the undeniable choice indeed for today is Rudolfo D'Angeli. Thanks a gazillion times, Rudolfo, for saying yes, for availing yourself and for sharing yourself with the world. We are so honored. Now, you moved from the depths of despair to the heights of bliss. How does that happen? What happened the minute before you attempted suicide that changed everything? Rudolfo, the mic sings to you. Greet our viewers and jump into it.
Major Daughter, thank you so much, first of all, to have me on your show. I mean, honestly, I am in awe just listening to the intro. Now,
you know,
I've been
so
on many
welcome.
Podcasts before, and I have a podcast myself, but this is now the next level.
Thank you.
The production, the whole, the enthusiasm behind your show, yourself, what you bring to your guests and to the world is absolutely amazing, and to be a part of it is humbling. And I'm feeling really, really grateful. So I really appreciate you for all you do. And honestly, I was like, oh my God, is that me going on now after this?
It's like, yes. Thank
you. This is too much, you know. But yeah, anyhow, really, really grateful. First time in my life, actually, that I'm speaking to an audience, you know, South Africa. Oh my God. I would have never thought in a million years, 12 years ago, looking at a rope inside my garage, that I would ever speak to anybody, let alone, you know, to you today and your audience.
Wow.
and reaching people, hopefully touching people in your beautiful and such colorful and cultureful and powerful and amazing continent and country. So
yes,
to go back to your...
It's possible. All things are possible. And I tell you, everybody sit to just hear your story.
That is beautiful. And I'll be happy to share. My story started 53 years ago. And I'm be 54 this year, so it's been a long journey to here, but I'm not going to go too far back, even though the story really happened, you know, that started back then. As a little boy, I was given away. My mother didn't want me, and I guess she decided to give me to foster parents, and I grew up until 11 years old with foster parents. And so I didn't know, I had a clue who my parents were, because they would sometimes come and visit me, but it wasn't a normal relationship, son and parents, right? I was away and didn't understand really why. I didn't know why my parents couldn't love me, and didn't know why I was the only person, only kid that the parents wouldn't come to school and, you know, come and speak with the teachers like everybody else. And so, but anyhow, at 11, I was picked up by my parents. They wanted me back. And, you know, it was a very rocky situation because I didn't know who they were. So it was very hard for me to connect with them. And, you know, I didn't know what was happening from there on. From there, I was sexually abused by a family member. And, you know, the story kind of evolved from there, trying to find a father figure, trying to find a mentor, a leader. Which is very important, you know, as children, we need leaders. We need someone who shows us the way because we don't know, right? Unfortunately, that didn't happen, or it happened in a way that didn't serve me very much. And eventually I moved out from home at 19. I got married very young and the marriage didn't work out. And, you know, I was 24 years old and I didn't really know what life is about at that point because, you know, my parents didn't want me. My now wife didn't want me. You know, there was so many questions that I just could not answer. From there, I kind of changed my approach. I was a people pleaser. I learned to people please from a very young age to be loved and be accepted and be, you know, feel that I mattered in some way. But then at that moment, after the split with my ex-wife, I kind of turned the page and I became very radical, very, very hard and, you know, started to do crazy things to be seen, still for the purpose of being seen, but being nice or pretending to be nice didn't work. So I thought, okay, yes, let me just be bad and maybe that will work. But that got me into prison. And so I was put away for a little bit. And so I came to a point in my life in 2003, after meeting who now is my wife in 2001 in a very random way. But then in 2003, I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Australia. I will leave Europe. I was living in Switzerland. I'm from Italy, but I was living in Switzerland back then. And I moved to Australia, to Melbourne, where I am today. And I thought, you know, Major Daughter, I thought I could leave my past behind. I could just leave everything behind and just start fresh, you know, go in a new country and get a second chance. But life doesn't work that way, you know. We cannot escape. We cannot just, you know, open a door, go through it, and everything is left in the other room. You know, life will come with us. You know, those parts of us, the trauma, the pain, all of the things that happens, they are part of us and they will come with us. And until we put them to rest, until we grow above them, until we can understand the beauty, even in the trauma, the beauty, even in the shadows, it will not let us go. And so from that moment on, the first year in Australia was amazing, by the way, because I was in a new country, everything was new. But a year later, I felt life bringing me the bill. I always use this metaphor. It's like when you go in your beautiful restaurant, right? You have a nice meal and you have a party and you have drinks and you have dessert and everything. And at the end, you can't get away from the table, right? The waiter is going to bring you a bill for all of this, right? And I felt that happen to me, you know, the bill that life gave me. Okay, you wanted to escape. Hang on, before you go, let me just give you this because you're going to pay up. For me, that was very confronting and I was scared as well because I didn't know how. And also I didn't believe that all of that would have come with me, right, on the other side of the world.
And actually, now that you mentioned that, if I could just come in, I tell people that most of the times, we tend to move the problem and not solve the problem. So when you moved from Australia, you simply moved all the problems along with you without confronting them, without solving them. And this happens every time and again. Your parents moved the problem when there was that rejection and they didn't want you and they didn't really know what they were dealing with. They just moved you to foster care. They didn't address the underlying cause and root cause of what led to the kinds of reduction that was there. Same with marriages, right? With your marriage, your wife didn't want you. You were just moved there. So you kept on moving from one place to the other and you were moved. So you also got to that place of just moving along. Then you move to a new country, but you now discover that, okay, everything has followed me here because you didn't solve anything. You just moved it.
Absolutely, 100% right. And you know, later on in my life, I read a book by Seneca, which is probably my favorite book today. It's called On the Shortness of Life. And there's a passage in that book by Seneca that says, no matter under what sky you travel, you always travel with yourself. And I wished I knew that earlier so I could address the things that were painful, the things that have affected my life and all of that. But I only were able to discover it a little bit later. But as we say, better late than never, right? So after this whole, you know, after life knocking at my door, letting me know that nothing changed really, you know, I fell into a depression, into an anxiety, and the next 6 years from there were absolutely terror, me trying to flee, me trying to not listen, me trying to not look, right? Trying the next thing, something to just, you know, distract me. And until 2010, only, you know, 12 and a little years ago, you know, finding myself in my garage thinking of ending my life because I didn't know anymore what to do. And so to your question, what happened the minute before, right? What happened, you know?
Maybe before you even answer that question, now that you have said so much, look, there's so many of us and there's so many people really going through a lot right now, especially since after the pandemic, we've seen so many suicides around. If you could tell us what really pushed you over the edge, what when that bill came on the table to say you have not paid for this, you've got to pay here. What pushes you into that garage now?
You know, it's so many things, you know. I was in my 30s, you know what I mean? And I felt like I never had a break, you know, until that moment. And I honestly didn't know how to get one. And so there was a moment, I guess, you know, the moment that what I have learned and what I have learned working with people now as well, I've learned that, you know, there's a moment where it feels like death is less painful than living. You know, it's that moment where we believe, we have that false belief, people who get to that point, you know, we believe that doing that act, even though it's a terrible act and the people that are left behind are left to deal with that, we believe that that moment is less painful than keep living, you know? And so for me, what changed is a very, very funny thing because I was waiting for the moment for me to act. And I remember I was sitting on the floor looking ahead of me. But then there was a moment where I felt, okay, this is the moment for me to, you know, farewell. And so I turned around and I looked through a window that was behind me. And there was a window that you could see from the inside out, but you couldn't see from the outside in because it was kind of like a mirror. And on the other side was my wife, and she was in our lounge room. I was in the garage. She was in the lounge room. She was watching TV. And at one moment, exactly at that moment, I turned around to, maybe I just wanted to say goodbye. She burst out laughing. Like, she was watching TV, something must have been super funny, and she literally burst out laughing. And that's when a voice came into my head, or maybe the voice came into my soul. And the voice said, there has to be more to life than misery. There has to be more to life than misery, because I was in a place where I was about to end my life, and my wife, just 5 meters away, was having the time of her life. And so for me, something was put in my soul that said, you know, your next part of the journey is to find the missing link, because there has to be more to life than misery. And so that is what happened the minute before. And from there, it started a journey that is now, you know, 12 and a half years long, that has gotten me all around the world looking for the answers at the beginning, but then having found something that really was the missing link. And it's quite ironic. I'm speaking with you from South Africa. South Africa is a very powerful, powerful continent, and traditions and shamanic practices and so on and so forth. And even though I tried the modern approach of, you know, coaching and all of that kind of stuff, which, by the way, worked for a little bit of time, probably for about a year and a half, my business took off. We like had 7-figure business, 40 people working. We like really, really successful. And I felt really, really good. And I felt I did some healing with my coach and so on and so forth. But after a year and a half, my anxiety started to come back. And it actually came back even stronger. And I remember asking my coach to help me. You know, it's like, you helped me before, help me again, because I'm going backwards very, very quickly. And I'm actually starting to sabotage my business and everything. And I remember that after trying a few times, she couldn't. She had no answers. And there was a moment I realized, okay, the modern approach can get you to the outer journey. They can get you to achieve that perhaps dream or whatever that you have out there. But you need to go on an inner journey. It's the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is here. And obviously she couldn't help me. And so I traveled and I heard a podcast, actually, that someone was talking about shamanism. And you know that moment when you hear something and you know exactly that is the message is for you? That's exactly what happened. I was driving to work and I was listening to this podcast. And when the man was sharing his story, I knew in my soul, this is my missing link. I need to do that. And that journey, Major Daughter, was incredibly powerful, terrifying most of the time, because the practices, the ancient ways, right?
What is shamanism? Someone may be thinking, what is shamanism? Those who don't know, if you could first explain what that is and then take us through how you discovered this ancient shamanic practice that transformed your life. Listening to a podcast.
Through a podcast, right? The man was explaining his journey that he went on. So a shaman is actually the original name started in Mongolia, on the northern part of Mongolia. Shaman is a healer, right? Is a healer, is a person who is able to communicate with the other side. And it's a very, very ancient. Africa has some incredible shamanic practices, very powerful. But so does South America. Actually, in ancient times, all countries had their shamans. Australia, obviously, with the Aborigines, but everywhere, every place in the world had shamans. Those they were the healers, the people that could, you know, help people go into a place where it's not surface, but it's very much lower into the soul. And so my practice brought me, or my you know, the message I heard on that podcast that my practice was in South America. And so after starting here with a local shaman, I eventually flew to South America to meet a new teacher, a new person who could help me further. And that was really the missing link for me, because then I could use the outer journey, the modern ways, to go after my dreams, to create practices and strategies, you know, to get yourself moving. But I also found the ancient ways, the ways of our ancestors, that everything slows down. You got to sit down. You got to listen, right? It's like what you said earlier. You can't run away. You gotta take charge of all of that. And that practice did that for me. And so what I learned over the years is to combine the two practices together. And this is what I do today with people. I bring them on two simultaneous journeys, the outer journey of achievement, the inner journey of self-discovery, the reconnection to the self, and the healing path, the growing path that is within ourselves. So most of the time, for most people, the outer journey, the goal that people want to go and achieve, is often there to fill a void, to fill something missing, right? And they believe that by achieving that thing, they will feel that happiness or that fulfillment that they are so much craving for, yet it's only there to fill a void. And so they arrive to the place, they buy the new car, the new house, the promotion at work, or to start a business, whatever it all is, get $1 million, whatever. But the feeling then after a day or a week or a month dissipates, it goes. And then they have to chase the next thing. It becomes like an addiction. That's why we have a world that everybody's spinning their wheel constantly, never getting nowhere. Yet when we get into ourselves, we go into our inner journey. Now we find who we are. Now we heal. Now we grow. And now the goal that we want to go after changes. Because now we do not need the goal to fill a void. But now the goal represents who we are becoming as a human. And that is a really beautiful way of living, because now we're in balance, you know, and that is what worked for me, what helped me transform my life, heal, be able to, you know, go on and feel that bliss that I talk about, you know. And don't get me wrong, life is full of challenges, right? It's not,
yes.
This is not the magic pill that now everything is going to be always fine and all the problems are going to get out of my way. That's not the case at all. There's fictitious thinking. But what it happened though, is that you see the things that happen for you in a complete different way. You see them as a new way for you to grow and to learn and, you know, to be humble. To stay humble, you know, because life is very powerful. What God or creator or spirit or whatever someone believes in, something much bigger than us, has a bigger plan. And so to fulfill that plan, to live in our truth, there will be challenges that we will need to go through, right? Nothing is just given to us, right?
Yes.
And so that's the journey, right? That's the journey of 54 years, but also a journey of the last 12 years that not only has helped me now, but many, many, many people all around the world that I'm called to serve and blessed to serve, but also my wife. My wife was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago, and she decided to go on a similar journey using the similar practice, because we always said, if we believe in this so much, then if it works for me, it has to work for everybody, right? And so she went on her own journey, her individual journey, outer journey, inner journey, and, you know, was able to cure that cancer and didn't do much medication at all, didn't do chemo, didn't do radiation, didn't do nothing. It was a blessing, right?
Inner journey, outer journey. How does that even look like? Would you care to explain? And how has your practitioner helped you to connect with others, including your wife, because you say she was diagnosed with cancer and she also went through shamanism practice, and that really facilitated her growth and healing. Tell us about that experience. You talk about outer journey, outer journey, inner journey, or something like that. Explain that a little. You may have to break it down because some people don't know what you're talking about. And we want to be sure we are getting that right. How did she also now employ the same practice of shamanism? Rodolfo?
Yeah, great question. You know, shamanism is a practice that is, the practice we use is at 3,500 years old, very ancient. And the moment you enter this ceremony, because it is pretty much a ritual that, depending on what tradition you follow, for the ones that we have used in our life and what I practice today, is can be between 10 and 14 years old, 10 and 14 hours long, okay? And the way that works is usually it's done either during the night or during the day, and you drink a medicine, okay? It's called a medicine, and it's derived by a plant that grows in the end, is in Peru, grows at 4,500 meters altitude, 5,000 meter altitude, and it's a brew that you drink, and that brew allows you to go into part of yourself that otherwise you wouldn't be able to go. It's a very challenging journey because you are presented with who you are. You can't escape that, right? You can't say, I don't want to see this. It will be presented to you not as a way of punishment, but as a way of realization, self-realization.
So
where are my responsibilities? Mm-hmm.
So after drinking the medicine, you sort of go into a sleeping mode, or does it take you to a trance? What does the medication do? Is it? Yes.
Okay. So what that medicine done called Huachuma, the medicine is called Huachuma, and what it does, first of all, it opens you up, like in a matter of energetically open. So you really feel you are connected to more than yourself, right? Because oftentimes we believe we are the unique species and the world is running around us, right?
But yes.
What that medicine does is allow you to feel that you are part of something much bigger than yourself. It also teaches you self-love. So much as love for the other person, or perhaps the earth, right? And this might sound all very, you know, woo-woo kind of way, right? Yet the moment we get out of ourselves is the way we can get back home, okay? But in the same token, the ceremony has different stages as well. There's a stage of opening, there's a stage of self-reflection, there's a stage of observing. And you're not in trance, you are pretty much here. And I could literally, you and I could have the same conversation as we have now, only that we are coming from a complete different frequency, right? We are way more open to it all. We are way more aware to everything, but also we are aware to see who we really are. How did I get here? What really happened in my life? You know, you can really see what life has been about. For me, the trauma, you know, the abandonment and all of those things, I was able to see those things in a complete different light. Okay. And it you know, often people try to forgive everybody else, right? Try to forgive. But we forget to forgive ourselves first, right? Because at the end of the day, we put ourselves through so much pain, even though life sometimes might have been really hard for us, right? I mean, we all have challenges. For me, it was my challenge, but you might have yours, and everybody has their own, right? And so at the end of the day, we got to be able to embrace those challenges. Most of the time, people don't want that. They would just push it away. Just you know, they want to get rid of that. They don't want the darkness within themselves, where the gift becomes when we embrace the darkness as much as we embrace the light within ourselves. Pushing a part away brings a hole, brings a void within ourselves, and we can't be a whole if there is part of us missing. But if we embrace that wholeness of ourselves, the good and the challenge, all of a sudden there is no missing piece, and all of a sudden we can now see who we really are. And the medicines, these practices, which already obviously said like this, seems like a pretty easy journey and like a kind of like a good time, which by the way can have great times in between, but some things are very confronting. You are confronted with your ego that wants to control you all the time, that inner voice that tells you you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not this, you will, you know what I mean? And so you're confronted with your wholeness, and you will be learning to accept every single part of that. That is when the healing happens, truly happens. See, this eases depression, anxiety, cancer, all sorts of diseases that we get is an imbalance of something that is within, right? Might have been caused by some trauma of the past, might have been caused by things that we're trying to neglect, trying to push away. We are holding on to anger, holding on to resentment, to regret, to guilt. It's all energy, right? It's all energy. And that energy can work for you or against you. Usually a stagnant energy is like water. You put water outside, you can drink water straight away. You can put a water in a bucket, you drink it straight away. You leave water stagnant for a couple of weeks, it's probably not good to drink that, right? Probably flies are in there and larvae and all of that. It's poison now. Same thing with things that happen to us, or for us, I should say. So the moment we allow ourselves to go in there, and I always say, give pain so much love to turn it into happiness. Don't try to cut it out, but love that part of yourself as well, you know? And a shamanic practice, even though, you know, in a short period of time, is very hard to explain. It's a sacred ceremony, it literally is, because if you really have a good practitioner that helps you and guides you through it, it literally can change your life. I have seen and have practiced nowadays for nearly 10 years. I hold my own retreats, and hundreds and hundreds of people from all around the world that came to our retreats, and it's staggering the moment you get out of your way. It's staggering to see how people's life can transform. Now, let me say this. It doesn't happen that way, right? You still will need to go home and implement the things that you're seeing on a journey like that. It's not gonna get done for you, right? What will happen is you might be pointed out to look at a place, usually metaphorically, to understand something, and you understand what you really have to do. For me, for example, 2017, I called most of the people that I knew I hurt back when I was still in Europe, that I wasn't the right person. I realized my wife wasn't a bad person. My ex-wife wasn't a bad person. You know, I walked in, she was with another man. Of course, it's not the right thing to do, right? I don't condone that action. Yet I understood that the action happened because I wasn't the man, I wasn't the husband that she was looking for. I was very controlling, very jealous, because I was so insecure. And so 25 years later, I actually called her and apologized. I said, you know, remember me? I apologize for whatever happened back then. And I did that with many, many, many people that I knew I hurt. And I always say life is a preparation to death. In a way, life needs to be lived fully, fully, right? Preparing, because we don't know when death comes. It can be in 50, 100 years, it can be tomorrow. And so we need to be ready that when we arrive to that moment, we can look back at our life and say, you know, my life was maybe challenging at times, but it was well lived. And I said my thank yous and I said my sorries and I pushed through the fears and I tried my best. You know what I mean? And so this is what the journey has been for me. This is the journey that I share with many of the people I work with. My wife has done her own journey. So it proved to me, wow, this really, even though I have seen it with many happening, but she's my wife. She's the only thing I have. We don't have kids. And so she's sacred to me. And I will give everything for her to be happy, but also healthy and strong and fulfilled. And, you know, her embracing what has helped me and giving trust to what I'm doing, you know, the gift was seeing her healthy, going to the tests and saying you're cancer free in a matter of, I think it was about 5 months later. Wow. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, but you know, major daughter, you know what she did? Something, when she was diagnosed with cancer, she was not in a good place. You can imagine her mom passed away with breast cancer. And so she was really scared, really, really scared. And my wife had a very hard upbringing. Her father was very abusive and so on and so forth. But you know, the first thing that she did as soon as she came home from being told that she had cancer and after us having a quick chat, how we will do this now. And she said, you know, I want to do what you have done. I trust in it. I have seen it work. I want to do that. That is my path. And I remember she went upstairs to the bathroom, to the mirror, and she looked at herself in the mirror and said, Grace, I freaking love you. And she had never done that before. But there was a moment where she accepted herself for who she was. And for a long time, I can tell you that, she didn't, because she always felt she missed out on life. She was beaten by her father until she was 30. And she thought she missed out on life. And it was the first time that she really connected with herself. Life humbled her, right? Sometimes we don't hear life telling us, hey, make a change, right? The anxiety, the depression is not a death sentence. It's just life telling you, hey, you're okay. You're not broken. Just listen to me. You just need to make a little change in your life. And the moment you accept that and you take responsibility into your hand, right? It's the moment when I was 41 and I was wanted to kill myself. It was a moment of realizing my trauma started when I was little. My sexual abuse was at 11. My wife cheating on me was 24. Why was I still paying at 41? Why? Right? So it was that moment of saying, you know what? Yes, that happened to me. And yes, it's a detrimental part of my life. But now I am responsible for the way I feel, for the way I live, for what I want to do. Not that. Right?
Yes.
And it's, of course, simple to say, but that was the journey that I needed to go on. And that is what I recommend anyone listening right now. You know, if something is going on in life, that is okay. It is okay. And if something happened to you, for you, back in the days, that is okay. We can't change that. It sucks, I know, but we can't change that. But we can, what we can change, though, is today. The Buddha says, your life today is a reflection of yesterday. Your life tomorrow is a reflection of today. And so if today we feel sad and depressed and anxious and scared and vulnerable, it's a reflection of yesterday, and that is okay. We can't change the past. But what we can do is we can design and create the future by changing just a little bit what we do every single day. And whatever you do in a positive way, taking care of yourself, accepting who you are, and doing some inner work, and perhaps look for something that really matters to you, today will design tomorrow. If we don't do that, tomorrow will be exactly the same as today. And that will be a shame, because life is sacred. Life is given to be lived fully. And yes, challenges happen. Yes, things that should never happen to people do happen. Yes. But what if it happened for us? What if it happened for us, not to us? Right? Wouldn't that change things? What if the lessons within all of that happened? We could turn them around, not only to change our own life, but someone else's. Right? Absolutely. Today, when I walk around, I can tell people who are in pain, because I was in pain. I know when someone talks to me and, you know, says a particular word or vocabulary or whatever, I know where that person is because I was that person. We are a reflection of each other. In shamanic practice, there's a phrase that is said, it says, in la kecha la kin, means I am another yourself. I am just another reflection of you. And so if you are in pain, I am pain too. And if I was in pain, I know how your pain feels like. But if I can get through it and I can make a little change, so can you, because we are one and the same. You know?
Yes.
Wow. I really hope this message comes through and it really resonates with your audience and you know. And you are you're so blessed. You know, Africa is a powerful energetic center, is an incredibly powerful continent, right?
Yes.
Your ancient tradition, they're still living today.
Yes.
Use those traditions. Use that energy of your land, you know. Connect to that land. Ask it to serve you. Ask it to help you. We don't have all the answers. We're not meant to. What we are meant to is to ask for help when we know we can't do it ourselves, right? For me, it was that thing saying to my wife, can that person help me? Do you think that person can help me? It was a humble moment because for 41 years, I didn't want help. I wanted to do it myself because I'm a man. I should do it myself. But that's a lie. We all need help. But we need to get to the humility, to that place of humility, to be able to ask for help. Hmm. You know. So, yeah,
incredible.
That is
story.
That incredible is the journey. Story. You know.
Yes. Yes, and yeah. I must say your wife is blessed. You are blessed. You are both incredible people. You may not have children today, but I believe you have so many children that are spiritual children, those that you serve, those that you help, those that you impact in your life are your children. Let me just say, now that you mentioned Wachuma, that shamanism uses Wachuma. Wachuma is a master plant, for those who are interested. It's a master plant for the body, for the mind, the soul, the spirit. I can tell you that plant is a powerful plant and can be used for medicinal purposes. Look, do your own research. You can take this up and really do your own research. Some people will call it a herb. Yeah, remember how we get to Wachuma. We got to Wachuma because of shamanism practices that uses the plant Wachuma, right? I just needed to really clarify that for those who don't really understand. Just bring it home in layman's terms. I want to know, what are your two most important words in life? Rodolfo.
I want to touch just a real 10 seconds regarding Wachuma. But Chuma, like you said, very well, very powerful, very, 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 very powerful master plant, yes. Teacher plant. It's also known as the grandfather. The energy in the plant is really grandfatherly, very ancient, very wise, very loving and caring, but very stern. And so we call it the grandfather Huachuma. In Spanish, abuelo Huachuma. Yet I would not suggest someone just get some, just do it for themselves, but really look for a practitioner that has experience, because those are not things to be taken lightly. And we not only we will approach this type of practice and this type of teachers and master plans with great respect, but also we want to make sure that we are being served and looked after by a qualified practitioner that has worked extensively with the plant and will know to help you if you need the help.
Bringing you the good news all day long. You were tuned in to the hottest station on the planet. Keep it locked.
After traveling to Peru for many times, I was the person I was working with. Saw my dedication. I never wanted to become anything. I didn't want. Actually, scared me more than anything. But
it would have scared me, you know? Really, you are. It really.
It scared me. Yeah. Trust me. But eventually, you know, if they call you, you have to answer the call. And so, eventually, that is what I did, and started my practice and learning and, you know, traveling back and forth and serving. Now today I hold retreats and people come, and before the pandemic they used to fly in, then obviously we, you know, because of whatever happened, but yeah, we are you know, holding these retreats and so on. So it's beautiful to work with the plant so often, yet you know, after No, even 600-700 ceremonies, I still shake every single time I lift the cup and have to drink. You know, I get to drink the medicine because I know the sheer power, but also the humility that comes from the wisdom of this plant and what it had done for me. It really, this plant turned me into a man. I thought I was a man, but I was far away from it. And this plant really not only saved my life and turned me, you know, upside down, but it really helped me to become a man. And so absolutely, if you find someone who has practice and can, you know, you are in good hands, and you feel the call and you are not on any antidepressants or any anxiety or anything like that, you know, off the drugs, off the alcohol, off all of that, it's a moment of going home. It's a moment that requires a lot of respect and gratitude, integrity, and you really receive what you bring. And so that is about the Huachuma part. Now to your question, what are the two words, most important words in life? My hallucination is that the two most important words in life are thank you and I'm sorry. When I say that, I'm not saying thank you just for the sake of saying thank you, or sorry for the sake of saying sorry. You know, it's like, sorry, can you pass me the salt? Sorry, can I get through? Sorry, can you give me that? Not talking about that sorry. I'm talking about the sorry that really comes from your heart. The sorry that you know you have to say. You know, you have to say. You get to that humble moment. And I have used humble many times today, because I believe that's where everything starts. The moment we are in pain, it's probably because we are not humble. We are pretending, we are trying, to control and all of that. But humility is the key. And sorry, I am sorry, coming from a humble space within, without guilt, without any of that, but just humility, and say, you know, I am sorry for that. Not only allows you to put that weight down, not only allows you to be able to march forward into your life free of something that will hold you back if you don't, but it also will free the other person. That is the beauty about saying I am sorry in a genuine way, because it frees both parties. And that energetic bondage that we create sometimes when we do something, you know, to another person, those energies are very, very powerful. But by coming with a genuine way of asking for forgiveness, doesn't make us bad people. They actually, it's honorable. It's an honorable gesture. And I wish the world would do more of that. So sorry is that, is one. And why do I know that? Why do I think that? Well, if I can take 1 minute out of this, my father was a good man. I didn't grow up with him. We didn't have a good relationship. But my father was a good man. He tried as best as he could. And I know his father, his heart was in the right place. Only my father was very scared, was kind of like, didn't do well with risks and with things that he kind of couldn't control. But my father was very hardworking. He was very honest, but he was very jealous. He was very possessive towards my mother. Guess why I became possessive when I was young and then did the same with my first wife, right? Because I wanted to be like him, because I thought, well, if we are the same, he's going to love me, right? But instead, that didn't work that way. Actually, I put him off because I reflected the way he was living his life. But anyhow, he controlled and, you know, held my mother very, very firm. And my mom had quite a hard life. You know, she couldn't do much. And my father eventually was diagnosed with cancer. He was in hospital on his dying bed, and he could not die. The man was literally falling apart. He couldn't eat, he couldn't drink, his organs gave up, he could not die. And so when I asked my mother if she could share with me the last 5 minutes of his life to just bring me into that moment, she said that The people that were coming to visit, they left at 9:30 p.m. and they both, you know, my mom went to bed, they made her a bed in the room with my father. And at one stage at 11:30, my mom woke up and saw him looking at her. So he was awake. And so she got up and asked him if he needed something, which my father said, no, he didn't need anything, but he needed to say something. And so my father said, I am sorry. And my mom said, I am sorry for what? And he said, for the life I made you live. I was scared to lose you and I didn't know how to do it. And so I held you too close. And I'm really, really sorry. And my mom said, that's okay. Don't worry. Just get better. We're going to go home. And my father opened his eyes for the last time and went. What this did, when she shared that with me, what did that mean to me? Again, you can't get out of here before you pay your bill. Right? So along the way on life, we got to remind ourselves, who do I need to really say sorry? Again, not sorry, can you give me the salt? Can you give me the sugar or anything like that? But really think a moment, who in my life I should really reach out to, even if I don't speak to that person, just really reach out and just say, you know what, real quick, I got to say something. I am really, really, really sorry. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart. I wish you well, and I'm moving on. You will not be able to carry on your life. It will always weigh on you. So sorry is the first one. Second one is thank you. Again, not thank you just to make noise, but thank you from the real, again, from the heart space, from a place of humility. Thank you. Thank you for something that someone might do for you, right? We forget sometimes. We take things for granted. Our wives, our husbands, our kids, our parents, our friends, colleagues, life, God. We forget to say thank you sometimes for a good life, for a healthy life, for food on the table, for a roof on our heads, for clothing, for the roads. There's so many things we forget. We oftentimes get trapped by the things we don't have or the things we will wish we had. and we forget for all the things we do have, and there's plenty of them. And so thank you and sorry, I believe, are the most important words, the two most important words in life. And I hope this explained.
Yes, and he went home immediately after that, just as mommy said, let's go home as soon as we are better. He was fine and he went home. I've been telling people that, you know, we will be judged. How we will be judged based on how we treated others and how we treated our partners, how we treated our spouses, our children, and how we treated our friends. We will be judged. Time will come. We will pay. We will pay that bill of how we treated those who are close to us. Now, think about it. If we will employ these two powerful words that you've just shared, thank you and I am sorry, that can change the whole game. That can change how this really ends. And you say something so powerful that you cannot get out of here without paying what you have to pay for. You said your father, all his organs died, but he could not die. He could not find death. He obviously looked for death, but death could not be found until he paid that bill. Mm-hmm. So powerful. Yeah.
And you know, you said so very well, you know, the things that we do to others, right? But what about the things we do to ourselves? Right? What about looking ourselves in the mirror and say, thank you. You know, thank you for being you. Right? Thank you for not being afraid of being you. Thank you for trying. Or, I am sorry. I should just get out of the way and let you do what you are here to do. What about that? Right? And you know, at the end, that's why I always say life is a preparation to death, because at the end, like you said, right, you will be judged. But you know, even though I believe very, very firmly that there is something much, much bigger than me, and I don't know what we can call it, anything, right? I call it spirit, but it's God, it's creation, it's consciousness, it's whatever, right? You know, the one that will judge is us, right? Because we will see everything. We will become a part of it all. And before we go through that portal, the same portal we came through, we will have to get out of it. That's the only way in and out, right? But that moment when we realize we are part of all, part of everything, and perhaps we try to be out of everything, just the solo, the me, right? Rather than we, everything. That is also the moment where that self-judgment will come, the realization, oh, wow, what has fear done to me? What did I allow? Yes, I was scared, but why did I not follow through? Or, yeah, wow, I was scared of that, but thank God I still tried, and I tried one more time. Or, yeah, I know I hurt that person. Thank God I said sorry. You know, and you can feel that connection to everything. I feel that is very, very important, because that is, as we are coming, the way home is a lonely ride, is a solo ride, right? And the reconnection to it, but it's still a solo ride. The moment we come through, and the moment we go, we let go, right? So actually, by the way, I just want to mention this. This is, it has been a really amazing time and energy that has come from this talk, which is incredible. Yeah, really, really grateful for that. I really thank you for that, because you created a place for all of this to happen, right? Sometimes we go on shows where it's a good show, but the energy doesn't open up, right? The something is there that is blocking. We're here, we're just feeling like, and I don't even see you, but it feels like we know exactly who we are, right? Because again, in la que chalakin, I am another yourself. And so life is a gift, right?
Absolutely. Life is a gift, and this has become, I mean, 110% agreement with you. It has become more than a conversation. And you say something so powerful. We're at the tail end, but I really need to reiterate this one. You say, the ones that will judge is us. Actually, the Bible says, because I believe in God, I believe in Elohim, I believe in Yahweh, I believe in Him who gave the Torah. The Bible says that we will judge angels. But not only that, that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 says, we should judge ourselves, says a man should judge himself so that he won't be punished, so that he doesn't have to be judged. You said it very well. It's in the Bible. It's in the writ. For those who believe in the writ, in the Bible, it's right there. If you judge yourself, you won't have to be judged. You won't have to be punished. That's what it is. Tell us, how can one continue this conversation from here? How can our listeners and viewers find out more about you? And can this practice, can these consultations, you know, those who are interested in taking Wachum, can it even be done virtually? Because you said people used to fly there, and then COVID happened. I'm sure now they've started flying again to come and experience this. Tell us about that, Rodolfo.
Yeah. Wachuma can't be done virtually because, again, the container needs to be created for the medicine to be taken. And so it is a sacred place. It needs an altar, it needs a space to do the practice and allow the teacher to show up, right? And so we can't do this virtually, but yes, like you're right, people can now fly again. And so we do hold ceremony retreats, usually every 4 to 6 weeks, starting again, probably from March onwards. We had a very long break after COVID, and last year we went to Europe to see my mother. And, you know, that journey by itself, you know, got me to step away from all of social media. If you go onto my profiles on Instagram, Rodolfo De Angeli, on Facebook, Rodolfo De Angeli, on my website, Rodolfo De Angeli, everything is rodolfodeangeli.com, my website. But if you go and look on my social media, I have not posted for since May last year. You might see a post or two in between, but other than that, nothing. Why? Because when I went to my mother, which we reconnected back in 2015, unfortunately, living with her for a while, I actually at 54 years old finally discovered who my mother was, and it created a massive rupture and the beginning of a new journey that I had to go through last year. And so because I want to share a congruent message, I want to share me as who I am right now, not who I was or not who I want to become, but who I was now or who I am now. During this journey that I had to go on, with my mother, kind of disrupted my journey a little bit. You know, I had to find, because I was giving missing pieces of my childhood, of my relationship with my mom, but also understanding that my mom, unfortunately, was a narcissist and a manipulating person who is very well in controlling and so on. And I never spent time with her, as you remember, from 11 to 18 and 19, And that was it. And so last year we had a chance to spend time and a lot of things came out. And I think life again brings you the things you need to know when you're ready to hear them. And so for me, I knew that my person, myself, needed to change, needed to adapt, needed to calibrate again. And so my message wasn't congruent. And so I am starting again, probably in a week's time, to start to, you know, be back and with a new message, not a huge different message, but the message that is relevant to her, who I am today. And so for people who want to keep in touch with me, they can go on Rodolfo De Angeli, www.rodolfodeangeli.com. That's my website, which is just getting built. So there's not a lot there, but, you know, this is me and you can reach out the email or anything like that. You can follow me on Instagram, Rodolfo De Angeli. On Facebook, you can find me, Rodolfo De Angeli. My group on Facebook, Life Artist Mastery, and reach out. Or just join something that is gonna be released in a week's time, 7daygratitudejourney.com, which is really a giveaway, something for free, something that expresses the gratitude that I just feel from the past year that I just went on this new journey. Yet I feel really grateful, even though heartbroken in a way, because I did lose my mother and my brother. They're not passed away, but our journey's radically changed. Perhaps time will tell, we might reconnect, but I don't know that. There's no ill will, there's nothing. I'm grateful for everything, but I think our journeys for the moment have taken different turns. And so the gratitude that came, or the reason for the gratitude, I should say, is because life tested me in a way that I could have fallen for the anger, I could have fallen for the judgment, for the resentment, the guilt, and all that yuckiness that come with, you know, events that sometimes happen. Yet I took a decision to not become that. It took me 45, nearly 50 years to get away from that. And trust me, I'm only human. I get angry. I do all of those things, but I'm very aware and I try to recover very quickly. And so I am grateful for having learned another lesson, a lesson that I can share with my clients, people who work with me. And yeah, people have the chance to come on a journey with me for a year where we do combine the two practices, the modern approach, but also the ancient ways. And sometimes, you know, Major Daughter, sometimes shamanism, once it's embraced in a really powerful way and it's embodied, sometimes, like my teacher would say, it's not all in the cup. And so shamanism can be passed on in many different ways. And this is what I do with clients that are all around the world and that perhaps never will drink wachuma. Yet within the journey they come on with me, they will feel that energy. They will feel that wisdom coming through. And so they can embody part of that as well. So Instagram, Facebook, website, giveaway, 7daygratitudejourney.com. And I'd love to, you know, hear from anyone that is listening on your show, which is a tremendous show that you created, this beautiful container for us today, a sacred space for two people who are, you know, the son of God, the son of spirit, the son and daughter of something so much bigger than us. Coming together, right? It's amazing.
Yes, we are sons and daughters of Elohim. Look, I want to say to you, and this is, we are at the end really, but whew, what a conversation. Did you ever find out from your mom why they never wanted you?
Wow.
Did you ever get to ask her that when you reconnected? This shows that we are behind you. We are with you with your story, and you may be helping someone listening now.
Yeah. See, the first story that I was told 7 years ago was a story that they made a decision because, you know, they were poor, and after the war, they wanted to, you know, build a life, and so they decided to give me away so they could work harder and create a better life for all of us. And I was able to accept that. I mean, I am able to accept the new story too, but I prefer to know truth rather than a lie, because I lived with this, what I believed was true, but now I know the truth. And the truth is that my mom, when she was young, she was very pretty, and she lived in a, you know, even though it was wartime, Second World War, but the family was okay. You know, they weren't rich, but they were okay. And so she had everything she needed, and she was the princess at home. You know, she was pretty, and they looked after her in a way that, you know, they called her the princess. They made her feel like a princess. Yet when my mom married my father, my father didn't have a good job. I had to travel for work. And so scarcity came into her life. And she felt left out because people wouldn't see her anymore. And now if you are used to be a princess and everybody's always seeing you and telling you how good you are and how beautiful you are and all of that, and all of a sudden that switches off, for some that can be a big trauma. And they will do everything they possibly can to get back what they want, which is to be seen. And so when I was born, yes, they were working. Yes, they were rebuilding their life, but their life was already okay. And so the decision of me being given away gave her the space to now live in wealth, be able to travel, be able to go to holidays, be able to do whatever she wanted to do. And she wouldn't have been able to do that with a little boy around. And so the decision was not... maybe it was partially, but the truth is that it was better for her that way. And so that is, you know, truth is what sets us free. Truth is not always beautiful, right? But truth is what sets us free, because it allows us to take the decision what we want to do with that, right? I am not defined by her giving me away or not. I thought I was, but today I know that I am loved. I'm a son of God. I'm a son of spirit. I am love. So it's just my journey. And so if sometimes we feel that we are not loved by a specific person, well, God loves us. Something bigger than us loves us, because he puts us here. He puts us here with all our purity. Yes. And so we can do two decisions. We can regret, and we can guilt, we can angry and judge and wish it to be different, or just embrace what has given, what has been given every day, and march on yes. with that. Just be us, right? Yes. So not always easy, but life wasn't meant to be easy, right? It was meant to be felt, was meant to, you know, express. And it's okay to be scared. It's okay to not know. Socrates, probably the greatest philosopher who ever lived, said, "I know to not know." Mm. That was Socrates. So if he can say that, I can say that, right? But for most of my life, I couldn't say that, because I wanted to know everything, and I said I know everything. And I didn't want any help. I can do everything. Humility sets us free. Trust, truth sets us free. Faith and trust keeps us going, right? Mm. And then we get to have conversation like this.
Yes.
You know, we're just ourselves. We don't want to be anything. I have a bonsai upstairs, you know, a little bonsai. And every morning I get out of my bedroom, there's a little bonsai there and another plant. Yes. And I speak to the plants every morning, say, good morning, you know. And I say, good morning, little bonsai. I know you don't want to be an oak. I know you're happy to be a bonsai.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yes.
That's a reminder for me. I know who I am. I don't need to be anything else. Right? Just embrace who we are. Right? I know you're a bonsai. You don't want to be an oak, right?
Wow.
It's just those little things that life gives us. There's little signals, those little things that all of a sudden we think, wow, why am I just not getting out of my way? I know what to do. I know what to do. I just got to get out of the way and let it do, let it happen. Give it time, be patient. I have behind my phone, I have a paper, you know, you might see that. Now this is because my phone is the camera. So I have this thing that my phone will go in, this patience, you know, have it with me all day, every day. Remember, patient. Doesn't come like that, right?
Yes.
So it's a journey. Life is a journey for a reason, right?
Wow.
It's not the destination, it's how we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. What are your last words? What are your parting shots as we say, we'll come to the end, really, really, not really the end, but the conversation will continue. Also, all those who are interested, you'll know where to get hold of Rodolfo De Angeli. It has been more than a conversation. And I pray that this reaches as many people as possible, because I know it's going to impact their lives and change their lives completely. You can't just be the same after this. Rodolfo, the mic swings to you.
You know, if I think back and I wish life was my way, you know, I would never be here today. If I had life my way, I would never be here today. So for today, after a discussion and a conversation like this, you know, I realized that everything, every single bit of my life has been a blessing, because it got me here. And hopefully I can touch one person just in a slight little way. You know, so the blessing of the things that happen for us. And yes, they're challenging sometimes. Trust me, I know. But what if everything was a gift? What if everything that happens for us is part of the bigger plan, that like me today, speaking with you that are listening, I could have never been here if I changed one little bit. It's the journey. So I ask you just to embrace whatever is happening for you. Just look for the gift within there. Don't push it away. Don't look away. Don't close your ears. Don't close your eyes. Just look at it and find that moment, that little moment of silence, and look for that little voice that's going to tell you exactly what you need to keep going. And you will realize that everything was a gift, right? You're born again one day, again today, this morning. This 150,000 people every morning don't wake up, but we did. And we have this conversation because of it. So everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. That's the only thing I can tell you right now. Because the moment you ask me that question, I got emotional, because I'm like, wow, what a life. I would have never in a million years thought I'd be talking to someone, say something, right? But life was the teacher. Not me. What do I know? Life is the teacher. Something bigger than us. So all I can say is listen to that inner voice. Don't push it away. And accept who you are, because you're beautiful the way you are right now. And do the adjustment you need to do. Just today is the creation of tomorrow. Remember the Buddha. Yesterday, today is a reflection of yesterday. Tomorrow is a reflection of today. Life is in your hand. Life is a seed. Make it blossom. And remember the bonsai. The bonsai does not want to be an oak.